All righty.
Now, I would like for us to have a lesson that I want to share, but before I go in that direction, I would just like to have you just interact with me just for a moment. Talk to me about your place in the kingdom of God and what you understand about the kingdom of God and how you are involved in the kingdom of God in this moment. You're probably going to have to use a microphone, I don't know. The kingdom of God. Now we know that what God is looking for, or what he came for, was to, his original intent and purpose was to have the kingdom of God upon the earth. And of course, he has citizens that he's brought into this kingdom. And I trust that some of you are part of the kingdom of God. You are citizens in the kingdom of God. What is this all about? What do you understand by it? How are you involved with it? Just feel free to express. Looking for the microphone? It's up here.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. I want to know what that has meant to you and how you are involved in that kingdom and what you can express to me or to us, you know, concerning your involvement in that kingdom and what you understand by that kingdom. It's a big question, but
it is. What the kingdom means to me is, what I understand it is, I've received life anew based on, or because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that means that I have access to all these different rooms, like you've used that analogy. And with this new life, I have these keys, and I have the access, I have the ability to open the door to these rooms and utilize what's behind the doors, and I can utilize that through the now on the earth to shed his glory and to just share the gospel of, you know, what Christ has done on the earth. That's just here, and then after that, you know, that would be my body would be transformed, and I would be given a new body that is what's the word I'm looking for? It is not perishable. You use it all the time.
Immortal.
What is it?
Immortal.
The immortal body. Yes. And then I would be part of. I am part of that kingdom. But then, you know, the world would be transformed, and then we'd rule the earth, and we'd shed his glory. You know, throughout the whole world, throughout the galaxy. You know, throughout all of his creation. So that's what I understand. Is just shedding his glory. If I could sum it up, that would be what I understand the kingdom to be.
Okay. All right. Someone else.
Okay, we've been learning about two kingdoms, and we've been operating in what, as believers, we have been operating in the not understanding the kingdom of God. We've been operating a lot in the kingdom of the world. So as we're learning, I'm understanding more. You know, we learned of who is actually the king of that kingdom, and the laws of that kingdom, and how we have to operate and function according to that those laws and those for laws that we are learning. The more we, we're learning that the scripture says, you know, that the kingdom is love, joy, peace, patience, and, you know, all those things. However, we have to come into understanding that it's not just, you know, just like we're saying it. It's a whole new law. And when I use the new law, the law of God's kingdom. And until we learn about character, we're developing God's character. It would be His, those are the things that we do in His kingdom. We're talking about how we live. When we talk about how we live in the kingdom, we have to find out, what Jesus said, what the kingdom was, and begin to operate in the kingdom. So once we understand, the government of the kingdom, begin to operate it and not operate like we were operating before. I think about the scripture when he said, the people of the other kingdom can operate and get stuff done because they operate in that kingdom. However, we have to learn how, and as Brother Jay said, if once we get these keys and we know how to enter into these kingdoms, we're going to begin to function. And we have to demonstrate what God's kingdom is about. So we're in the process of understanding how we operate as a kingdom people rather than operating. We live in this world, but operating from the world's kingdom.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. I need someone to probably take it from that point or build on that point if you want, if you have something else to add. In other words, I don't want you to say the same thing that was said by these two individuals. If, I don't want you to repeat yourself, but maybe there are something else that you want to add to that.
Add to that. I don't know how to add to it, but let me put it this way. I had a dream about a month ago, and about a particular individual. And the dream just kept reoccurring to me. I'm saying, I had the dream. Why am I continuing to have this, this thing keeps coming back to me? And night before last, I asked the Lord about it. I said, why does this keep coming back to me? And he said to me, you had that dream for a reason. You have to do something. And I never looked at it that way, but we have all these, like Nathan was saying, we have the keys, we have all of this, but yet we have a tendency in our minds, well, I do anyway, I'm not quite ready yet. I don't have enough information yet. I don't have this, but a child operates with whatever they have. A baby don't wait till it's full grown before he starts to talk or walk. A baby uses whatever he has. Grunts, mumbles, crawls, however. I'm saying that to say that God's given us certain gifts and we're not using those gifts where we're at. I feel that we should use whatever we have where we have it, for it's not going to increase until we use it.
Okay. All right.
That confirms what I've been saying. And when you said to build on that point, that's the point, perhaps, that in using what you have, you want this thing that we do is to reflect the culture in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Now, those avenues that we have,
There are many avenues. That's the example of what you're saying about the child using what we have. We fight oftentimes. I fight oftentimes. Things that we want to get to then commence. But when we commence with the things that we have in every avenue, in every resource, in every, then you would think that it becomes tiresome. But it really doesn't. What happens is you draw from the Spirit of God, and it motivates you even more. And my recent experiences have been where people have said, well, how could you do that? Or how could you do this? And how could you do that? And you don't understand. There's a joy that I draw from, and how could you not want more of that? And through that, you're reflecting the culture or the nature of the King. So as you're giving and you're yielding more and more, it seems to the world stupid. It seems ludicrous. It seems upside down. But when you're actually going, and you're putting it into use, you see more. And you see more and you want more. You want more, you want more because what you see more, and there's such a love there. There's such a desire to be able to yield everything. And that, in turn, is what this world is waiting for, to see that. So as we're doing this, and we have these battles that we go through, as we're yielding these parts in our lives, more gets discovered, perhaps, as it gets boiled through. But then you take that and you give it to the King. And he you fall in love more because he takes that which you have, and in turn, he uses it for his glory. So the more you give, the more you reflect, the more in love you fall, but the more in love you become. The more in love you become, the more joy you have. The more you reflect, the more, and it's an entering into what God has for us in knowing these principles of the kingdom and knowing how to operate and function in this. That's what I believe this whole thing is about. Is about letting go and allowing God.
Okay, very good. I'm going to pick up. I want to pick up on. I'll get to Brother Junior. Then I'm going to pick up on what is really being stated.
Today I got the privilege to talk about the kingdom to someone today, and I was telling him. He said, "You know, we're in a kingdom, and we're sons of a king, the king who's taking care of us, who the ones who provides everything we need." He turns around and tells me, "But it's just getting worse and worse and worse." He says, "But what the kingdom says, what the king of our king says," and he just kept saying, "Junior, it's just getting so hard. It's so hard for me to believe and have joy, have peace, and have this and have that." I said, first of all, our joy is provided by our King. He said he gives us his joy. Our peace comes from him. It's knowing who he is, our King. He takes care of us. He's the one who provides everything in the kingdom that we're in. His word is what's all that matters. You know, and when we're in a kingdom, we don't have to really worry about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do this. So I'm incapable of doing this. I can't do that. Because if God calls you to do something, he's going to provide the way for you to do it. He's going to give you the heart to do it. If you want to evangelize, he's going to give you the heart to do it. You don't have to do anything. And he just kept talking to me and said, "You know, but it just seems impossible." I said, "You know what?" Because he was telling me, I'm reading the word. I'm reading the word. I said, "You reading the word? What the word says in every situation that you're facing right now? What does the king say about it?" That's the way we got to approach this kingdom that we in. What does the king say? If the king said it, it's already done. It's completed. It's finished. There is nothing that you have to worry about or fear. And I was telling him, I said, you know, that we were talking about the king. I was talking to him about the king today. And he was telling me, he said, "You know what? You know, my dad's telling me the same thing, and my wife is, and his mom is telling me the same thing, but everybody else around me is giving me all negativity." And I said, "You know what? All this stuff that's being thrown at you that's negative, it's contrary to what God says. You cast that down. You bring it to obedience unto Christ. And you know what? God's kingdom is going to reveal itself in you all the time. You're going to have this peace, the joy, something that we can't do ourselves. And that's the kingdom. The kingdom is knowing who is our king. He's the one who said, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I provided. And this is what you need. And it's already done. It's up to us to really accept his word. The king's word is law. It's final. Nothing else matters. And that's what the kingdom is to me. And since I've been walking with the Lord, I understand. I worry less. I fear less. I am more confident. I am more assured. I feel stronger, you know, spiritually, and because of what he done and what he's provided. A kingdom. He's given me a kingdom, and he's the king. And whatever he says, goes.
All right, wonderful. Thank you. Let's pick up on all that, because everyone has, you know, described and shared things that are very appropriate, apropos to where we are right now, and to what, you know, I really wanted to share tonight, but I want to get your interaction. Now, you are in the kingdom, and you know that your king is holy, right? And I want to talk a little bit about that holiness within the kingdom. I want to do that I want to express to you the word holy is the word, it means other. It means, it includes the meaning of other. God is holy because God is other. It includes the meaning of the word integrated. God is holy. Integrated. Now, what do you mean by integrated? Now, see, here is what you and I know as a truth. I know you know this as a truth. We came into the kingdom of God. We were born into the kingdom of God. Do you know that as a truth? Okay, what part of you was born into the kingdom? Spirit, right? Okay, your spirit was born into the kingdom. What do you know about your spirit? It's perfect. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is not going to get any more perfect. Your spirit is perfect. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I think it's 1 Peter 1:23 says that being born again, not of corruptible seed. The seed that you were birthed from when you were born the second time, or when you were born from above, when you were born again, that seed is a perfect seed. And so you came from that seed. You were born of that seed. So in your spirit, you are perfect. Right? But I want you to think of this word. Because in you and I are commanded, be holy. How? As your Father, who is in heaven, is holy. Now, if God is commanding you to do something, what does that tell you? You can do it. If he says, be holy, then you are able to be holy, because he will never tell you to do anything that he will not empower you to be able to do. Okay? So, this spirit here is holy. But remember I said about that word holy, that you want to, that it incorporates the word integrated. You have to integrate what is in your spirit with what is in your soul and your body. As we integrate these three, then you enter in to the understanding of what really holiness is. Because the word integrated means holy. In other words, let me give you a scripture verse. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. How many of you know that scripture verse? Right? 2 Corinthians 5, 20. Is it 20? You are the righteousness. It's on there. 2 Corinthians 5, 20. You're 20, 21. You are the ambassadors of Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. God has made you, made Jesus to be sin for us, and he has made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ. Wait, is that 20? And 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, how many of you agree with that? That you are righteous. That you are not going to become any more righteous, because righteousness simply means where you are. You are placed in Christ. Your spirit and God's spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 6:17, are united. Okay? You are joined with God. You are one spirit with God. So in your spirit, you are holy. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. And your spirit is joined with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in your spirit, you are holy. Right? In your spirit, you are righteous. In your spirit, you are perfect. But you are not only spirit. You have two other parts to you. You have a soul. You have a body. Understanding comes when you take what is in your spirit and you bring all that is in your soul in harmony with what is in your spirit, and you bring your body under the control of what the Spirit is leading, guiding, and doing. When that is done, then your righteous standing that you have in God is seen in your actions. For your actions now are integrated with your soul, your mindset, and it is all submitted to your body. Soul, mind is in harmony with spirit. Body is under control. Therefore, your behavior is reflecting the character or the culture of what's in your spirit. That is holiness. It's an integration. Spirit, soul, and body. See, what happens with us a lot of times is that we know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, or we say that we know it, but we have not brought our soul, our mind, will, and emotions in harmony with that thought that is from God, that word, and we have not brought our bodies under the control of our mind, soul, which is in harmony with the Spirit. So our behavior is not reflecting that of holiness. It's not reflecting the culture that comes from within your spirit where the Holy Spirit dwells. And that confuses the world. And it confuses the church also. Because we declare, yes, I am righteous. Yes, I am. And then some folks say, well, the Bible says he that is righteous, he that does righteousness is righteous. And so we have a whole big confusion in our hearts and our souls and our minds. And there's a confusion within the kingdom. We are confused because we're seeing or we're hearing one thing that we know the Bible does say that because we have read it ourselves. But then we come, well, there is something else that there's some other meaning to it, because you know, how can I really say that I am holy, you know, when my behavior doesn't demonstrate holiness? I'm talking about in certain areas of our lives. Are you following me? So that word holy means integrated, which is the same thing that Brother Nathan here is saying when he says that we have all these keys. And these keys help us to unlock all that is in the kingdom of God. And it's the very same thing that Sister Angela is saying when she talks about learning how to walk in that kingdom. Learning all the things that God has already put in our spirit, because we know this is where the Holy Spirit dwells. His spirit and our spirit are joined together. We are one, so says the Word of God. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. All these things are already in the Holy Spirit that is joined to our spirit, that this is the Holy Spirit, your spirit. We are one. What is in the Holy Spirit and your spirit must be in harmony, or your soul, whatever is in your soul, your mind, must be in harmony with what's in your spirit. So we have to learn, take those keys, and learn of everything that's in the kingdom of God, and integrate what is in the kingdom in our spirit, and bring it into this physical, natural world. You can't do that. We can't do that without this body. We can't do it without this soul being in harmony with the thought of the Spirit. This, when we integrate all three, shows or reflects a holy walk. We are reflecting the culture. The culture of God. Now, it goes back to what you were saying. See, if I'm going to wait, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting till I'm holy, because when I'm holy, then I'm going to feel confident that I can do this thing. But that is not how God teaches us. He teaches us as a baby. You take a step. Whatever you use, you get more. Whatever you don't use, you lose. Even what you seem to have is taken from you. So that's what that dream is really all about. God intends for us to function now, here, now, where we are, so that we can come into the understanding of who we are, where we are, and where we are going. The knowledge of the Holy One, that is understanding. The knowledge of the Spirit, the knowledge of the Holy One. When we take the knowledge and we come in harmony with the knowledge of God, and we allow our bodies to carry out what is happening within our soul and in our spirit, then we see understanding. In other words, so God will tell you, go left. And it's not until you go left do you really understand why he told you to go left. See, because when he says go left, you have to have confidence and trust and belief in him, knowing that if he tells you go left, that's the way to go, and you're going to be all right. So when he says to you go left, you go left even before you see or feel or experience anything. That's the knowledge of the Holy One. It brings you in a place of understanding who the Holy One is. It demonstrates that you trust him. He is able. You believe in him. He is faithful. Psalmist David said, I would believe to see the kingdom or the glory of God. I believe to see. The world is opposite. The world says seeing is believing. That's the other kingdom. And that's how we've been taught. Now the Holy Spirit has come along and is trying to convince you and me. He's taking the things that belong to Christ and revealing it to us. He's taking his word. No. If you want to be rich, you give. Not like the world says. If you want to be rich, you get. No. It doesn't work that way. That doesn't make any sense. How are you going to have if you're giving? The principle in the kingdom is different. But it's not until you and I say, okay, I trust you. Let me do what you say. Let me give and give and give and give. Even though I don't see anything. Even though I don't feel anything. Let me do it. When I do it, that's when the understanding comes. Because that's when my mind is submitted now to my spirit and my body is brought into submission or subjection, and now I begin to understand. Oh, now I see. Now I understand. That's the holiness that we're talking about in our kingdom. Okay, are you relating with where I'm going? That's what everyone was sharing something about the kingdom. Okay, we talked about the keys of the kingdom. We talked about the two kingdoms. We've been so used to the kingdom of the world. Now that we've translated the kingdom of God, we've got to learn how to function. But now we've got to start where we are. When we get a truth from God, we've got to apply that truth. When we apply that truth and integrate what is in our spirit with our what's in our soul and in our bodies, when we have our soul in harmony with the spirit, remember this. How we showed you this. This is spirit. This is soul. This is body. And we pointed out to you that the spirit must always be dominant. That is what has to be dominant in our lives. That's where the word of God is. That's where the principles of God are. That's where the truth of God is. That's where the love of God is. That's where the peace of God is. All this stuff. As long as you and I allow this part of us, the real you, to be dominant and keep this part in harmony with your spirit and keep the body under submission. Notice this is more powerful than this has to be in harmony. This has to be submitted. As long as we could do this, then this is what moral purity is really all about. This is moral purity. Because there's no way that you and I could do anything that is contrary to God if this is functioning in our lives. This is moral purity. And moral purity, everybody know that principle, right? Principle of moral purity. And what's the goal? When this is occurring in our lives, this is moral purity, the principle of moral purity functioning in our lives, the goal is that we walk in freedom. What's the definition of freedom? Being able to do what we ought, not what we want. Okay? The world says, hey, if you want to do it, do it. Again, we don't go by those principles of the world. We go by the principles that come from God. Being free to do what you ought. You ought to love your neighbor. You ought to love your enemy. You ought to, again, all the oughts. All the oughts are given in here by the Spirit of God. Of course, we know that we get all this stuff how? Okay? Jesus told his disciples, I've got so much to say to you guys, but I can't say it right now. You just can't handle it. John chapter 16. He says, however, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you back another comforter. When he comes, he will take everything that belongs to me, that's the word, and he will reveal it to you. He will show you things to come. He'll explain everything to you. So the Holy Spirit comes, and in order to reveal it or explain it or show you anything, he has to bring that thing to your remembrance, but he can't bring it to your remembrance if you've never put it there. That's why the Word of God is so vital in our lives. You will go as far in God as you allow the Word of God into your heart, into your life, and the Holy Spirit taking that word, bringing it to your remembrance, and changing you into that word. Now, we sing the song. Jesus, you are changing me. You know that song? How's it go? By your Spirit, you are making me like you. Keep going. Jesus, you are transforming me, that your loveliness may be seen in all I do. You are the potter, I am the clay. Help me to be willing to let you have your way. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that's not the one I'm looking for. Is that one, 2 Corinthians 3:18? And we behold, it's the right one, all right? We beholding, as in the mirror, the mirror, right? The Bible says in James 1:25, I think, or 2:25, it says that the word is the mirror. Is it 1:25? It says the word of God is the mirror. The only thing with this mirror is that when you look into this mirror, the only thing that you want to identify with yourself is what? You want to identify the glory of the Lord. Now, it seems sometimes that we are saying things to cause division or challenge other things. When for example, I made a statement that the role of the Holy Spirit is not to condemn or convict us in terms of sin. He does that to the world or to us when we were in the world so that we could come into the family. But when we come into the family, his role is really, he's gentle, he leads, he guides, he comforts, he helps, he rebukes. Let me ask you this. Do you know where it says he leads? He leads? You know scripture that says he leads? You know scripture that says that he guides? Right? John chapter 16 tells us he leads, he guides. Do you know a scripture where it says he comforts? He's the paracletos, the comforter. He comforts. Okay? Do you know scripture where it says he rebukes? What does it say? Where does it say that? No, it talks about the word that does that. Never says the Holy Spirit. I think you're thinking about Hebrews chapter 12, where it says that God chastens. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit. I say, well, God is the Holy Spirit, is the word. Yeah, but their functions are different. And it's important for us to identify with their functions. God is His Word. God the Father and God the Word, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that's God. But He functions with us in different manners. And I think we may say that it's not, maybe it's not quite important, but it is. Why is it? Listen, you could help me if you would, if you show me or if you tell me or you give me any kind of scripture where it says it shows that the Holy Spirit rebukes. If you can give me, you don't have to try and find it now. You could, if you can, I'd like to see it, because it will make me step back and think about what I'm saying here. But His role is different. He leads, He guides. Now, I don't mistake what the Holy Spirit does from what the Word of God does. For the Bible says, for the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, for the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, the Word of God does all that. The Word of God is like a hammer. It breaks. You know, the Word of God separates and divides between soul and spirit. The Word of God, the Word of God does a lot of things. The Spirit of God also does certain things. But they seem to keep their roles separate. When you put this word in your mind, it's in your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions. When you put this word in there by reading, by meditating, by memorizing, by studying, by hearing, when you put the word in your soul, when it gets into your soul, or in receiving it within you, it can treat you as a hammer. It can correct you. It could instruct you. It could separate and show you the difference between what is soulish and what is spirit. That's Hebrews 4:12. It could do all those things. Because that's the role of the Word. The role of the Spirit of God is a little different. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When you begin to think of the role of the Holy Spirit, you're thinking about something more gentle. He guides. He leads. Somehow it seems like He's easily offended. But He doesn't take offense. So the Bible says, don't grieve Him, because that's how you were sealed in Ephesians. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you were sealed. The role is a little different. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not God. Doesn't mean that the Word is not God. Doesn't mean that the Word contradicts the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit contradicts the Word. Absolutely not. But the roles are important to us. And I tell you why I think the roles are so important. You know, because sometimes we as believers, we get in certain places with God and we are not quite sure sometimes how to respond to God, because we don't know if God is rebuking us or if He is, or if it's the devil doing something to us. And then we get in that confusion. Am I making sense here? Sometimes we get to the point where we hear something, and like as we would say, "Oh, I did so and so, and I when I did it, I knew it was wrong, and the Holy Spirit convicted me." Okay, fine. That's I don't believe that. I don't believe that based on what I'm seeing in the Word. When the Holy Spirit comes to convict you, He's using that word convict in the sense of convince of who you are. He'll convince you of righteousness. He'll take everything that belongs to God that you are looking at that reflects the glory of God and change you into that thing. 2 Corinthians 3:18. While we look with unveiled faces, right, at the glory of the Lord, and we are changed to that same image that we are looking at, that we are meditating on, that we are beholding as by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, he has a role. He's going to take the glory of God and change you into that. That's why he's gentle. That's why he comforts. That's why he leads. That's why he guides. That's why he helps. That's his role, the Holy Spirit, pertaining to you and me as believers. When he comes on the scene to the unbeliever, what he does, he convicts them of sin. In other words, he lets them know, listen, everybody's a sinner. He convicts the world of sin. Convinces the church of who we are. And then he declares that the judge of the God of this world is already judged. This is our functioning in our kingdom. Functioning in our kingdom. God's word that we put into our soul, our mind. If you don't put anything in your mind, there is nothing that the Holy Spirit has to bring to your remembrance. Jesus says he will bring to your remembrance what I say to you. That's the word. Also says that he will show you things to come. And means he will take of the word and then he'll break it open. And reveal it to you. That's his role. So, you and I, in this arena of our lives, need to be sensitized. We be sensitive to all that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. Because he's taking everything that's in the word, that you had put into your word, into your soul, into your mind. He's taking that stuff and he's showing you what it means. He's going to give you revelation of it. He's going to lead you and guide you. He's going to instruct you. He's going to do a whole lot of good things to you. That's his role. The role of the word is profitable for teaching. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for rebuke or reproof. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And this happens in our spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, when the Holy Spirit has joined to our spirit, is dominant. Our minds are renewed. It comes in harmony. The thought, the word, we are understanding the word now because the Holy Spirit is giving us the right explanation of it, the right understanding of it. We begin to believe on what he says. And so as we believe in what he says, then with our members, we begin to carry out what he says because our mind is changed. Now, so our bodies are used, they're subordinate to the soul or the mind. And so now all three are integrated where the spirit is in control and dominant. The soul is in harmony. The body is under subjection. Now we are demonstrating the holy character of God. Holiness. That's what the whole world wants to see from us. Let me just give you one more scripture verse before I look at Galatians 5:16. I have a problem when I share. I don't always say where the word is, you know, but I'm actually quoting scripture verses, so 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, no, I'm sorry. What did I say? Galatians. Where am I going to 2 Corinthians? Galatians 5:16. This is a verse that you're familiar with. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you might not, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, now he's gonna help us here. The works of the flesh are manifest or seen, shown, which are these? Adultery. Now, it talks about the works of the flesh, but then it talks about the body that you're going to take to use to carry out the work of the flesh. Now, it doesn't mean that your body, he's not saying that your body is really evil. He's saying that your body is what is used to carry out adultery. You with me? Because if this body was evil, then the Bible would contradict itself. Because the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is the least we could do. So, you and I can keep our bodies under the control of the Holy Spirit and in harmony with the soul, keep our bodies under, and then our bodies then would be presented holy, because it would be integrated, spirit, soul, and body. Now you could present it holy. But without that integration, it would not be holy. It would be acting, or the behavior of the body would be rebellious. It would not be in harmony with what the Spirit of God is saying. So he's talking to us about that. The work of the flesh, adultery. Simply saying that you ought not to use your body to carry out those actions. That is not holiness. Holiness is when you take your body and you bring your body under the submission of your mind, which is in harmony with your spirit. That is joined with the Holy Spirit. That's what holiness is. That's where you and I can demonstrate what the kingdom of God is all about. We don't commit adultery. We don't commit fornication. We don't do these things because it's not in us. It's not part of us. We've received the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has helped us to understand. We have brought our mind under the submission, and our emotions, we brought them under the submission of the Spirit of God, and our bodies are in submission. Harmony and submission. We are holy. In other words, we are demonstrating holiness. Now, don't confuse this with the righteousness. Now, remember, righteousness is what's already taken place in your spirit. But bringing your mind in harmony and bringing your body under submission, now you've integrated all three, and now you're demonstrating what holiness is. That's what God expects from us. So we live holy. We don't commit or carry out the works of the flesh, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness or lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Anything that you could identify with that. We don't do that. But the only way we don't do that is when we have this in control. Spirit in control, soul or mind in harmony, body in submission. This is moral purity. And this will lead you into the goal of freedom. You can just function. Just free. Nothing could condemn you. No one can condemn you. Why? There's nothing to condemn. There's no law. Nobody has to give you a law and tell you, don't commit adultery. Why? Because you have your spirit that is joined with God's spirit that is in control, is dominating your life. No one has to give you a law that tells you, don't commit adultery. No, you don't need a law. Laws are given to the lawless. You are not lawless. That's what God intends for his church. That's the holiness that we've got to demonstrate.